The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham.
On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Bonnie Cushman. Bonnie is the program manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium here in Portland. Hey there, Bonnie. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hey, wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we probably should get started today and let people know what the Regional Water Providers Consortium is.
Sure. So we are a group of 26 water providers, and we've been working together for about 27 years. So think City of Wilsonville all the way up north to City of Portland, and then out east, City of Sandy, out to Hillsborough and Cornelius in the west.
Wow. So it's the whole region, hence the name.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you guys do?
So we really work together in any way that makes sense for us to do regional work. So we started with regional water supply planning, and water providers are looking out in a 50-year horizon for planning for what kind of infrastructure we need. We do water conservation, education, and outreach for the public so we can use water wisely, especially during the summer months. And then we also do emergency preparedness. So we focus on how can we make sure that our water systems are prepared for emergencies, and how can we make sure that we're connecting with public about how to store, access, and treat water in emergencies.
When you say emergency, what do you mean? Are you thinking the big one, the big earthquake, or just anything?
Really anything. So we prepare for the big earthquake. We're looking at trying to have people store water for 2 weeks after an emergency, because that's about how long it's going to take for help to arrive to our region. But of course, every day there's different types of emergencies. And in the last couple of years, we've been through wildfires or winter storms, all sorts of different things. So people can only survive for a couple of days without water, but they can survive for weeks without food. So we always recommend start your emergency preparedness for water, and you want to have about 1 gallon per person per day, and for 14 days.
Wow, that's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water, yep.
So where can we store this? And if, like, I live in a pretty small condominium. I did just buy a big pallet of water from Costco, so I think I'm kind of prepared, but
you're on your way.
I have a closet I can store it in. A lot of people don't have that much space.
Right. And so when people ask me about that, I always say, you know your space best. So in your case, I bet that there's different places in the back of closets or cabinets or under your bed, you know, down underneath that kitchen sink. There's all sorts of different spaces that you can tuck a little bit of water here and there, and you'll get yourself up to that 14 gallons pretty easily. I live in a standalone home, so I use our garage and our front closet. And then, of course, I make sure that I have water in our cars, because you just never know where you're going to be if you need water.
That is a really good point. I don't have water in my car. I'll do that. So one question I have, we live in Portland, Oregon, where it rains a lot. Why do we have to conserve water?
That's a wonderful question. And as a longtime Portlander and in this greater region, I always joke that summer doesn't begin until after 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
And then what we have is really a pretty dry period. And so all of the water that we've gotten from rainfall and a little bit of snowpack is what we have to last us for the whole summer. And so we really want to make sure that we're using what we've got efficiently. It's not that we're going to necessarily run out of water, but we really want to make sure that we're using what we've got as efficiently as possible.
That makes sense. We got quite a bit of snowpack this year, right? So are we in good shape for this year?
Yeah, interestingly enough, not all water sources and systems use snowpack. So, for example, in the Portland region, where people get water from Bull Run Watershed, that's mostly rain-fed, not snow-fed. And then in Clackamas, they pull water from the Clackamas River, and there's no storage on that system. And then if you go west, there's a combination of snow-fed and rain-fed water systems and water sources. And then, of course, many systems also pull from groundwater. So we get our water from all different types of sources. We're a water-rich area, but we just have to kind of learn a little bit more about our sources and our systems.
Excellent. We're talking today with Bonnie Cushman, Program Manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium. So now that we're in summer, how much should we water our lawn or garden? How should we handle that and be conservative about it?
Right. So lawn is actually one of the more thirsty plants. And so we really base our recommendations on lawn, and then you can adjust them for other types of plants. On average, we recommend that you water lawns about an inch of water a week during the summer. But we know that water actually, we know that weather kind of goes up and down throughout the summer. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's a little bit cooler. So we have a wonderful service called the weekly watering number, and that tells you how much to water each week based on weather and your zip code. And you can get it by email or text for free.
Well, that would be handy.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something where you put a tuna can out on your lawn, and once the tuna can is full, then your lawn is watered. Is that still appropriate?
Yeah, I love that you bring that up. That's one of the best tools, and it's something that we all have, is one of those flat bottom cans. So yeah, fill up a tuna can that's about an inch. So that's for lawns. If you have plants that are established, like shrubs or trees, they might need actually a little bit less each week. And so that's one of the things that we talk a lot with people, is helping them figure out how much water they're actually using, and then adjusting how much they water based on weather and what their plants actually need.
Okay. How can we make sure that our irrigation system is working efficiently?
I also love this question, because, of course, irrigation systems tend to run early in the morning when hopefully most of us are asleep. And so we really recommend that you take a few moments once a month, turn your sprinkler system on, and walk through your landscape. See that all of your heads are working the way that they should be, so they're not broken, or, you know, there's a sprinkler head watering your car when it needs to be watering your plants, that kind of thing. And then, of course, if you're watering by hand, you want to make sure that any of your hose connections are tight so that they're not dripping. You don't want to, like, tighten it so crazy tight, but just snug enough so that you don't have any water escaping, except for when you're actually using your hose to water plants.
So why do you recommend watering in the dark time hours, like overnight and stuff like that, instead of during the day?
So the main reason is that the wind is calmer, so it's less wind, and then it's also less heat. So you're losing less water to evaporation. Depending on the type of plant, you might want to water in the morning or the evening. Some plants don't like to have water on their leaves overnight. So anytime after 6 p.m. or before 10 a.m. is a great time to water.
Yeah, that's always a surprise when you're walking down the sidewalk at night and all of a sudden somebody's irrigation turns on and you get wet.
Definitely. Or early morning. I'm an early morning walker, and I can't tell you how many times I have to kind of run out of the way to get out of the way of those sprinkler heads.
You've been giving us some really good tips today, Bonnie. So where can people find some more information about this?
Sure. We have great information on our website, regionalh20.org. That's where you can sign up for that weekly watering number that I mentioned earlier. And I was talking a little bit about water sources. We have a great interactive map there as well.
I love that you can put in your zip code and it'll tell you all the information you need.
Yep, absolutely.
That's really cool. So what types of technology or conservation devices should I be using to be water smart?
So one of the best things that you can do is look for a WaterSense weather-based irrigation controller if you have a irrigation system, or if you're putting a new one in. Think WaterSense is like Energy Star, but only for water. Okay. And they automatically use 20% less water. If you already have a sprinkler system, one of the things that you could do is use a rain sensor, and that'll help tell you when it's raining after a certain amount of rainfall to turn off your sprinkler system, and then it'll automatically cycle back on to the next watering time. So it's just a way to make sure that you're not sprinkling your lawn while it's sprinkling outside.
That's some pretty amazing technology, that it'll just turn it back on after the rain.
Yeah, they work together. Mm-hmm.
I want one of those.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you're hand watering, the best thing to do is to use a hand, a shutoff nozzle at the end of your hose. And that way, as you move around, you're just putting the water exactly where you want it and not where you don't.
What's the biggest use of water here in Portland? Is it lawn care and things like that?
Yeah. Watering our landscapes uses the most amount of water during the summertime, and that's why we talk so much about how to use water wisely in your landscape and garden.
Yeah. What about, like, washing your car?
Washing your car is another area that's really pretty easy to use water wisely, and it's kind of counterintuitive. So we recommend that you actually go to a commercial car wash rather than washing by hand if you can. And you're really looking for a commercial car wash that recycles its water. So they're keeping all of those soap suds and pollutants and everything on site, but also using water efficiently at the same time.
Yeah, I always wonder about that when I go through, like, the wash van to get my car washed. I'm like, they must be recycling this water somehow.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, that's cool. So what about inside the home? What's a good way to conserve water inside?
The best place to start is in the bathroom. That's where we use the most water every single day. And of course, we all have them, so that's something that we all can do to use water wisely. The biggest culprit is our toilet. We use our toilet water all the time to flush toilets, and toilets also can be one of the most likely culprits for silent leaks. And so a leak can use a couple hundred gallons of water without you really realizing it if you don't check your toilets often. So one of the best things to do is to check your toilet at least twice a year for leaks. And you can use a leak detection tablet, which most water providers give away to their customers for free. Or I actually like to use food coloring. It's a great activity. I have a 9-year-old. We go and pull the top off of the tank in the back and then do a couple of drops, about 10 drops into the tank, and then don't flush the toilet for about 20 minutes. And then the big reveal is to look in the bowl. And if you have color, you know that you have a leak. And if you don't, you don't have a leak. So it's a great way to check for leaks. And it's also a great way to engage kids, if you have them, in making sure that your family is using water wisely.
I never even imagined that I would have a toilet leak like that. I better try that.
It's funny, I have a coworker who he's always saying, it's always the toilets, you know, whether he's checking people's water usage in a bar or at a home or, you know, any sort of situation, it's always, almost always the toilets that are leaking.
Should people maybe consider getting a more efficient toilet too? Is that something we should do?
Yeah. So again, just look for the WaterSense label. They automatically use 20% less water per flush. They're pretty inexpensive. They start at about $100 and can go up. And of course, you know, you can put them in yourself if you're a do-it-yourself type person, or hire a plumber if you have any concerns with it. But yeah, absolutely. Look for WaterSense toilets. They'll use about 1.27 gallons per flush.
Wow. Okay. What other ways can we conserve water inside?
So again, sticking with the bathroom, I recommend change your shower head. That if you use a WaterSense labeled shower head, you're going to use about a gallon and a half of water. So you're going to save about a gallon each minute that you're showering. So all you have to do is change the head. No behavior change needed. And then the other thing is, whether you have a faucet in your bathroom or your kitchen, at the tip of it is called a little device called an aerator. And that can help you save about a half a gallon of water per minute, each minute that your faucet runs.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And are those easy to install?
They are really easy to install. Most of them you can just unscrew at the tip of your faucet and then screw a new one on. So you just have to take that existing one to your hardware store and ask them for a WaterSense labeled aerator, and then just come home and screw it back on. Also, you can buy new fixtures. So WaterSense fixtures are readily available at your home improvement stores. And again, a faucet, a full faucet fixture, those can start at, you know, $20. So pretty affordable.
Yeah. And you'd probably see the difference on your water bill almost immediately, right?
Yeah, it's water, but think about any time you actually use warm water, you're also paying to heat the water. And then, of course, you have the wastewater that comes out, and you're paying for the removal of that as well. So you're going to save on your water bill, but you're also going to save on those other bills as well.
What do you say to people that, and I always thought this was a strange behavior, when you leave the water running while you're brushing your teeth or shaving or even doing dishes?
Yeah, it's funny. Some people, well, people have all different ideas on why they do it, right? But it's actually, you're using, you know, a gallon to a gallon and a half or up to 2.5 gallons of water per minute every time you're doing that. So that's a great, easy way to save water. Yeah. But it is one of those things that you have to work on habit-wise. So it's something that we're working on in our family as well. I have as I mentioned, I have a daughter and my husband. And so, you know, when we're washing, it's not uncommon for us when we're washing dishes for me to walk over and just gently turn that faucet off.
You've got tips in your own home. I love that. So what about washing dishes? What's more efficient, doing them in the sink or doing them with a dishwasher?
Well, actually using a dishwasher is usually more efficient. So if you wash by hand running your faucet full blast, it's going to use about the same amount of water as your dishwasher would for a full washing cycle.
Wow.
In 4 minutes of running the water.
That's a lot of water.
Exactly.
So you're saying dishwashers are probably the best.
Yeah, and if you don't have a dishwasher, that's okay as well. Just make sure that you're turning that water off like we were talking about when you're not using it to rinse. Or you can also put a tub of water in your sink and use that as a rinsing as well. So you don't have to run the water the entire time.
How about washing clothes?
So my daughter actually has the best tip for that, and that is wash your clothes only when they're actually dirty. So for those of you who have kids, you're probably chuckling, but I'll tell you, in my house for a long time, if my daughter Hazel didn't want to put the clothes away, whoop, they ended up in the dirty clothes. So that's a great tip for families. But, you know, dishwashers and clothes washers both use the same amount of water and energy per cycle, whether they're full or not. There are some that you can adjust for smaller loads, but you just want to make sure that you're getting the most out of any wash cycle. So fill it up with clothes, fill it up with water, and then use it efficiently.
Very good. We're talking today with Bonnie Cushman, Program Manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium. Bonnie, how about giving out the website again where people can get more information about water tips and things like that?
Sure. It's regionalh2o.org, and there you can find indoor tips as well as tips to use water efficiently outdoors.
So, Bonnie, how long have you been doing this? Why are you so interested in water conservation?
So I've been with the consortium for about 18 years now. I am an avid gardener, and I just love that we really can plant almost anything that we want. But of course, I think it's really important that we use our resources wisely, and water is one of our most precious resources. And then, of course, I have a daughter, as I've mentioned, and I want to make sure that we're leaving a better world, or at least trying to take care of what we've got. When I was younger, I was flooded out. My family was flooded out of our house when I was about nine, and we lost everything that we had. So emergency preparedness is really a personal thing for me. And so having an opportunity to really connect with the public about water conservation and how to prepare for emergencies is kind of a sweet spot. It really is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. And you say, with regard to emergency preparedness, that water is the best place to start. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, we really can only survive for a couple of days without water. And so, you know, that is the place to start. Everything else we can build off it, right? We can store other items that we might need or food that we might need. We can make sure that we have all of our other planning done. But when it comes down to it, if we don't have water, right, we can't do those other things. We can't take care of ourselves and our family and our neighbors and community.
Yeah, that's really important. Have water in your house and in your car. You made pointed that tip out a little earlier in this interview. Keep it in your car. That's a great idea.
Well, and keep it where you are. So, you know, if you work in a different part of town or even a different town than you actually live, make sure that you have something at work that will make it so that you can actually get home to your loved ones.
Good tip. Thank you. So now that we are in summer, let's talk more about summer water conservation. What should we be doing this summer?
Well, the number one thing is to water just a couple of times a week instead of every day. So that's one thing that some people can get a little bit confused, but really what you're trying to do is make it so that your plants can survive well and efficiently on the water that you give them. And so if you actually stretch out between when you're watering, what you're doing is making sure that your plants have a stronger root system, and so that when it gets really hot out, they can actually survive better.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Never thought about that. They kind of adapt.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So that tip you just gave us about watering just twice a week probably is a relief to some people who think they have to water every day. And at the end of summer, people are like, okay, I'm ready for the rain to come back because I don't have to water every day.
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing I'll give you a tip is, as we're heading out of summer and into fall, plants naturally go into dormancy, which means that as the days get shorter, they actually need less water, which is a little bit counterintuitive because, of course, we get into the dog days of summer and it's just hot, 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 right, with the weather. But actually, we start tapering off water, and that's another opportunity to really save water as we head into fall, water less.
Makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about drinking water and where it comes from in our area.
Yeah, so we're fortunate to have five main drinking water sources here in the Portland metro area, and we also have a ton of different secondary sources. On our website, regionalh2o.org, we have an interactive map where you can learn about your water systems and water sources and who your water provider is. And interesting tidbit, not a lot of people necessarily know who their water provider is, so that's just a great thing to learn a little bit more about.
I don't know who my water provider is. I should find that out.
Yeah, well, and we have an interactive tool where you can type in your address on our website, and it'll tell you who your water provider is and what your main water source is as well.
What's in the future for the Regional Water Providers Consortium?
Well, what's interesting about us is that we've been doing the same type of work for a long time, and there's a continued need for that. And so we're continuing to work on making sure that our water systems are strong and resilient. We're working on working together with our peers and learning from one another. And then, of course, we're continuing to do water supply planning and doing these public outreach campaigns and making sure that people know about their drinking water and how to use it wisely. Yeah. So we'll keep doing that. We're doing it in English as well as multiple other languages as well, because we really want to make sure that everybody who are our customers and our community have access to these resources.
Yeah. Give out the website one more time where people can get all these tips and more information.
Sure, it's regionalh2o.org.
Very nice. Bonnie, thank you. This has been fun. We've learned a lot.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking today with Bonnie Cushman, Program Manager for the Regional Water Providers Consortium. Thanks again.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.